I had made up my mind never to leave the underside of the bed and to let Slim suffer the consequences of his foolish behavior. But suddenly he was gone and the siege was over. My guess was that he glanced at a clock because I heard him say, "For Pete's sake, she'll be here in 10 minutes. I shot a glance at Drover. He was still shivering. "I think maybe it's safe to leave our drunkard, Bover."
"No thanks, I never touch the stuff."
"What?"
"I said, I don't know what I said. When I get scared, I'll say almost anything."
"Yes, I noticed. I said, and please listen this time, I said, I think it's safe to leave our bunker."
"Oh, good. What's a bunker?"
"A bunker is a bunker."
"Oh, then maybe it's safe to leave."
"Exactly my point. And I'm going to let you leave first. It's a small promotion, and it shows that I have confidence in your ability to perform a task."
"That's weird."
"What?"
"I said, oh boy, a promotion. I just hope I can do it."
"You can do it, son. Just crawl out from under the bed."
"I thought it was a dunker."
"Hush, Drover. Just do as you're told for once in your life and let me give the orders. I have my reasons for sending you out first."
"Yeah, that's what bothers me. What if I run into the vampire vacuum?"
"The rest of us will be right here, backing you up. Now go."
"Oh, drat."
He stuck his nose out from under the bed. He rolled his eyes to the left and to the right.
"It looks clear. Slim's in the living room, throwing junk into the closet."
"Great. Nice work, soldier. Let's move out." I wiggled myself out from under the bed and shook the lint off my coat. Sure enough, the coast was clear. Coast, that is. I made my way past the vampire vacuum, gave it a careful sniffing, and joined Slim in the living room. Well, at last he had gotten serious about cleaning up his house. After goofing off and wasting valuable time, he was now grabbing entire armloads of stuff. Socks, pants, towels, papers, magazines, books, paper plates, cups, and throwing it into the hall closet. Then he put his shoulder to the door, rammed it 3 times, and finally got it shut. He paused a moment to catch his breath and brush the hair out of his eyes. "John the Baptist had it right. Live in the desert and eat grasshoppers. Then nobody will ever come to visit." He heaved a deep sigh and ran to the vacuum sweeper. I watched this with great interest and concern and was ready to hit escape speed the moment I saw a grin on his mouth. But there were no grins this time. A small miracle had occurred before my very eyes. Slim had decided to quit goofing off and to clean up the house. He dragged the sweeper down the hall and into the living room. He plugged in the cord and started sweeping the floor. And we're talking about wild, frantic activity, fellers. He had become a sweeping demon, totally dedicated to the task of... I noticed a small cloud of dust forming at the rear of the sweeper. I cut my eyes from the cloud to Slim, then back to the cloud. It seemed to be growing. Slim didn't notice. His gaze was frozen in a wild expression, and his teeth were clenched, and he was jerking that sweeper pipe up and down, back and forth. Something was wrong here. Why was all that dust coming out the back of the sweeper? I barked an alarm. He didn't hear, so I barked again, louder this time. Suddenly, his eyes came into focus. His head came up. He sniffed the air and coughed. Slowly, his head turned around, and he saw what I had seen and what I had tried about which to warn him about. Which? Food. The house was filled with a huge cloud of dust. His eyes rolled back in his head. He smacked his forehead with his hand. He jerked the plug out of the socket. Holy cow, I forgot the sweeper bag. Well, I tried to warn him. He stood there for a long moment as a whole movie of expressions flashed across his face. Fatigue, weariness, disgust. Then irritation, slight anger,
Then wide-eyed, teeth-gritting anger. Then rage. You won't believe what he did. A crazy gleam flashed in his eyes. He gathered up the sweeper and all its parts, stomped straight over to the back door, and threw the whole works out into the backyard. He closed the door with a bang, dusted his hands together, and gave me a grin. By grabs, next time I clean this house, I'll do it with a good old honest broom, and I'll leave them lying, cheating vacuum sweepers to whoever wants them. He coughed and fanned the air, which was pretty muchly solid dust. He shook his head and stared into the fog with the look of a beaten man. Boy, I really done it this time. I hope Viola's running late, 'cause... That very moment, we both heard the same sound, the hum of a motor in the distance, followed by the rumble of a vehicle passing over the cattle guard. Once again, Slim's eyeballs rolled back into his head. Why didn't I just tell her that I ain't got any coffee? I don't know how these things happen to me. He limped into the bathroom to do something about his appearance, which was pretty awful. Even I could see that. I mean, his hair looked like a buzzard's nest. He had lint in his beard and a layer of dust on his forehead, dust on his glasses, sweat rings on his shirt, and a hole in his jeans. I felt sorry for the poor guy, but what could I say? He'd chosen to chase his loyal dogs around the house with a vacuum sweeper, and now he would have to pay the pauper. I barked the alarm and ran to the door to greet our visitor. When Drover heard the car pulling up to the front door, he started barking too. Or whatever you call that thing he does. It's not a deep, manly bark, but rather a high-pitched yip, yip, yip. He came halfway down the hall, yipping his little head off.
Hank, someone's coming. I think it's a car. Alarm, alarm, alert, alert. Car on the place, car on the place.
At last he noticed me sitting beside the door, watching his performance.
Oh, hi, Hank. I heard a car coming and I thought I'd better do alert and alarm.
Yes, I see.
Are you proud of me? I was the first one to pick it up, wasn't I?
Drover, I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Oh, good, because I hate bad news and I'm scared of bears.
Nevertheless, it's my duty to inform you that your alert and alarm was a full 2 minutes late. The smile wilted on his mouth.
Oh, darn. Now I'm all upset and disappointed. I thought I'd done so well.
I'm sorry, son, but we've had that vehicle on Irritory radar from the very moment it pulled off the county road and entered our property.
No fooling?
Yes. And I can even tell you that it's being driven by Miss Viola. Furthermore, I can tell you that she's come to borrow a can of coffee. He stared at me in amazement.
How'd you know all that?
It's all in the ears, Drover. It comes from years of practice and drill. At that point, I turned my attention to other matters. There was a knock at the door. I began to wonder why Slim didn't come out of the bathroom to let Miss Viola in. Then, I heard an odd sound coming from the bathroom door. Several odd sounds, actually. The first was the squeak of the doorknob turning, followed by a rattling sound. This was followed by a loud whack, as though somebody had, well, kicked the door. None of this made any sense to me, but then I heard Slim's voice. This dadgum door, I can't get the dadgum door open. Come in, Viola, come on in and make yourself to home. Oh, so that was it. He was trapped in the bathroom. Gee, this wasn't Slim's lucky night. The front door opened a crack, and Miss Viola stuck her head in.
Slim? Yoo-hoo, Slim, are you here?
We heard his voice inside the bathroom.
Come on in, Viola. I'll be right with you.
She came in and closed the door. She was wearing a long coat with a fur collar
and some kind of furry hat on her head. My goodness, she was pretty. Her eyes were sparkling, and she had a smile that seemed to light up the whole room. I tell you, fellers, there's just something about a woman's presence that can change a shack into a palace. I rushed over to greet her. So did Drover, the little stoop, even though he should have known that she hadn't come to visit him. I got there first and managed to position myself between him and Viola. Then I went to adoring looks and worshipful wags.
Hello, Hank. I see you managed to talk Slim into letting you into the house. Hi, Drover.
Somehow the runt managed to worm his way under my legs, and when he heard her call his name, well, I guess he decided that he actually belonged there and was welcome to stay. He wiggled past me and had the nerve to jump up on her leg. I was shocked and embarrassed. He should have known that jumping up on guests, and especially lady guests, was crude, rude, uncouth, and socially unacceptable. I mean, jumping up on cowboys and pawing their clothes with dirty feet was okay, but doing it to a lady? No, sir. They don't go for that kind of stuff. He should have known better. Hadn't I taught him any manners? Apparently not, although I had tried. I was shocked, but on the other hand, she didn't shriek or kick at him or push him away, and in fact, she reached down and patted his head, and it suddenly occurred to me that he was butting into my business and that I needed to do something to save her from his silly displays of phony affection. I mean, Drover hardly even knew Viola, whereas she and I had been dearest friends for a long time. If any dog was going to jump on her, it ought to be me, not Mr. Hide Under the Bed. And so it was that I followed the only course of action available to me, the one dictated by hospitality, good manners, public health, and true friendship. I vaulted over the top of Drover, stepped on his nose, and threw myself into her awaiting arms, where I, and I alone, deserved to be. After all, she'd come to visit me, right?